Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What can we learn from the play, The School for Husbands, which was first performed over 350 years ago? Let's go in-depth with Mary Jo Sod, professor, and students Jenner Lathrop, Kira Chavez, Brandon Hunt, and Keely Lonigan from Central College. Well, it's fall again, Mary Jo. You've got a good play going, I bet.
I do. It's School for Husbands. It's one of the Molières that's not done very often, but I thought the title might be appealing, and I was telling one of my classes earlier today that I have a new hero, and that's Malala in the last few years here, all the things she has done, and to be a young woman and to be so courageous. And this play is one of the main themes is about being a child bride. And when you look at the UN statistics, we were just blown away as a group. Right now, it is saying that in the world, we have over 700 million child brides. And so even though this is a comedy from a while back, the messages are still there. The comedy is there. But there's a little bit, a kernel of it that we remember. It's a really serious topic at the same time.
Well, that's interesting. I guess I'd never thought of that. I was just worried about the school for husbands and I was going to have to go or something.
Yeah, most men should, right?
All right.
And I have a male cast who can throw something at me later.
Well, all right. So now you've given me a little bit of information. Mm-hmm. So I guess, is it the child bride that is doing the schooling?
There are two brides in it that are very young, and they are both wards of two men who the story really is about the four of them in a lot of ways and how they handle life and how they approach life as a school, right? Jenner, you have a lot of lines in that respect.
Indeed I do, yep. In the play, I play the elder of the two brothers who have these two young women as their respective wards. Arist is his name, and he treats his ward with a lot of respect and basically lets her do whatever she wants, to go to balls and hang out with whoever she wants for the most part. Now, the younger of the two brothers, Sconarel, he controls the life of his young ward to the smallest detail. He does not let her leave the house without him accompanying her. He does not let her do anything of any kind without his presence. And in fact, the child bride aspect comes in because he plans to have her marry him eventually at some point. And that leads to the main hijinks of the story, in which Sconarel's ward, Isabel, attempts to get out of the arrangement and hook up with her true paramour.
And that's the basic story, right?
Indeed.
Wow. Okay, so you're going to have to fill me in. So these girls are wards at first, and then they're, what, educated to be brides? And how old are we talking about?
Well, that's a good question. I'd have to say late teens, perhaps?
Yes, at that time period, I would think so.
Mm-hmm. Late teens.
And the older brother is 60.
Correct.
And the younger brother is, I think, 39?
40s.
40, mm-hmm. Somewhere. There's 20 years difference between. And they're marrying very young girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how it happened long ago.
Yes, it did.
Now we have some problems with that, but that was more normal.
And I even think with the UN articles that we had to read, it's not even just a thing that's just in the distant past. Like, there's still 40, 50-year-old men still marrying 20-year-olds and younger, a lot younger. Like, a lot of the brides we were talking about were in between,
12 and 15.
Yeah, 12 and 15. Yeah, and that's just, I can't imagine being betrothed to be married at 12. Or if, you know, even now, being 20, 22, I can't fathom that right now, because I'm in school and I'm trying to do all these different things and live my life, but knowing that you're destined for that is just a hard thing to swallow.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Mary Jo Sod, Jenner Lathrop, Kira Chavez, Brandon Hunt, and Keely Lonigan about the play, The School for Husbands. There's these serious international issues that we're dealing with and you're dealing with as the actors, and at the same time you're dealing with a play that's how old?
1661.
1661, so a very ancient play with different things that we need to think about today, and all set in a comedy.
Mm-hmm. 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 So you can, I love the fact that he chose it to be a comedy because it helps the audience kind of take it in more and puts that mirror on you. So you're laughing, but there's still something under there. Like, what are you laughing at? And it's the comedy of, like, seeing the younger brother go through all of these things, and he's so sure of himself that his way of thinking is the right way, and it ends up kind of coming back on him, and you get to see that in the play.
So there's the tension between the bride and the... And the who they're the ward of, the mm-hmm. guys, the older guys, the brothers, the tension between the brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. There is quite a lot of tension between the brothers. In fact, the older brother, who of course I portray, takes quite a lot of issue with the younger brother and the way that he treats his young ward, especially in the fact that he's going to force her to marry him. And that is one of the driving forces of the beginning of the play as well, is that antipathy between the two brothers.
So this sets up some pretty interesting and powerful dynamics.
Yes, definitely. You get to see a lot of, the way the two brothers interact with each other and the way that they definitely tends to be telling Sconnerell that he's not really doing things the correct way. I mean, maybe he's older and wiser, or maybe he's just a nicer guy, but, there's definitely a lot of tension between the two brothers.
Well, what's the role you play?
I am a cart person, so we set a little bit of the background of the show and interact a little bit. So we're kind of the townspeople that are in the area.
Mm-hmm. So townsperson, you're playing?
So the younger brother is so sure of himself that he leads the daughter, his ward away to me. I'm the young lover who comes along and shows her something different, and I'm like, dreamy or whatever, and I get to
debatable.
I get to we kind of trick him into handing her over to me, and he thinks that he has her won this whole time, but she just kind of... There's a lot of two-sided language in it, and so he hears one thing. He hears what he wants to hear, but really she's sending messages to me through him, and it's pretty hilarious.
And the set is really helpful. Kira and all of them have worked on the set.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And Kira's done a lot of work. It's her first year here. And
yep.
You want to talk about the set and how that helps?
Sure, yeah. For the set, we have four huge houses, one for each brother, one for the magistrate, and then one for Valera, the young lover. And just seeing the set come to life around us, as well as all of the other aspects of design, the costumes, the lights, the sound, really sets the mood, and you're transported to that place, 1661, in this small village with this lifestyle these characters have. And it's really helpful.
All the action takes place in this courtyard area.
Mm-hmm.
And, the houses are 19 feet tall inside the theater, and so it was very interesting putting those up, but it's been a fantastic experience to get to
absolutely
work on it. Mm-hmm.
And do you have a role in the play?
I do. I play Lisette. She is the maid to the Isabel and...
And Lenore.
Lenore,
yes.
Thank you.
So the maid to the two wards, yes.
Yes. I live mostly with the older brother, Erste, and Lenore. And pretty much the two girls' best friend, help them, their guardian as well.
Okay, so you are. Well, that must be very interesting because there's parts of this that you probably have some trouble with as in character.
Yeah, right? A little bit. It's a little difficult seeing all of them interact and being a little on the sideline, but also like really involved. The main conflict is with these four characters, and I'm involved, but I'm not one of the four main characters. So trying to find these places to help out the two daughters is really interesting.
And Molière always uses the servant's role as what he is referred to as a raisonneur, a voice of reason. And so the servants are the people you often have to really listen to in any Molière play because they're much smarter than the regular aristocracy in the play. And this one is not really, there's not a lot of aristocracy in this play. It's not one of the court shows in the same way. It is more based around a character called Sconnerell, who was a very popular character in Molière's plays, and this is it. older version of Scalarell, and he has gained a little position himself, and then he lords it over everybody. And so he was a servant for many years and now turns into kind of a dork because he's got a different position and he didn't learn his own lessons from the past as being reasonable. So it's interesting in that. To the French, this is really well known. And this is one of Molière's famous performances himself. He was playing across from his younger wife at the time it was historically done, and they were not getting along. So it's interesting to read up on the history of it. I think his wife at that time was in his early 50s, and I believe she was 18.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Mary Jo Sodd, Jenner Lathrop, Kira Chavez, Brandon Hunt, and Keely Lonigan about the play, The School for Husbands. What do you think the audience is going to get out of this?
I mean, I definitely think it's very funny, but I hope that they learn a little bit, too, about the way that these issues are still issues. We often don't think about them living here in the U.S. We have a lot of freedom, and we don't really, fully take advantage of it all the time. We aren't as thankful as we could be about how lucky, I mean, we get to go to school, we get to experience all these things, and there are 15-year-olds that have to go get married now, and they don't get to live their lives to the fullest. And so hopefully the audience, I mean, they can laugh at it, but they can also learn a little bit about what's going on in the world and how important the freedoms that we do get are.
Well, we're pretty darn complacent, aren't we? All right, so what do you think the audience will get, Brandon?
There's a lot of language that mainly the two older brothers, and even myself a little bit, touch on the way women think. And the younger brother obviously thinks that women need to be guided. They don't have, because without it, they'll just, you know, run wild and free and do crazy things. As the older brother has a more mature view of it and knows that he needs to let his ward live her life, and if she wants to love him, she'll come back. But if she doesn't, then he will accept that and let her go be herself, but he's not going to cage her in.
Well, and that's got lessons for us. We all know those mm-hmm. clingy kind of people that don't let their mm-hmm. significant other fly free,
do
don't
anything.
We?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yes, yes. Is that layered enough for you?
Yeah, well, this is very layered. That's very cool. That's very cool. And some people learn that. Sometimes people are younger and don't learn that lesson, then they mature. I guess that's part of the point that we're seeing here.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, so what else are we going to learn?
I mean, I'm kind of going off a little bit of what Keely and Brandon both said and taking that a step further. I think that people seeing this should realize that you can't constrain people. You can't protect them and throw them in a jail. They have to live their own lives. People are going to do what they want to do and how they want to do it, and trying to force them to feel something or to do something they don't want to do is not helpful. And I think anyone seeing the show sympathizes with the younger ward, Isabel, because they see her being forced to marry this older guy who's creepy and who she doesn't want anything to do with. And she doesn't even have the liberty to say anything or else, you know, she'll be punished. And so I think people should realize that you can't force people to do things like that. Everyone has their freedom. Even though she's a woman and free in a sense, she's kind of a slave to him. And I don't know, people should realize that you can't force people to lock them away.
Well, you know what, I'm just going to say this, people can agree or disagree, but we like to think often that we've escaped the patriarchy, don't we? But have we really?
Have we escaped the patriarchy?
I mean, we can act like it. Yeah, no, we recognize the role of women in society and being free, and sometimes we will say that women can do anything, but sometimes, I mean, really? We aren't very far from our history of any of this, are we? We like to act like we are.
We do, and to some degree, I think we have escaped from that antiquated mode of thinking. For example, the way that the wards are working and the forced marriage that we have here in the 17th century, you still see that today, as we've been talking about, but for the most part, it is shunned and ostracized and highly disapproved of. And so I do think that, for the most part, we are kind of getting away from that patriarchy mode of thinking, and it can only really go up from here. And that's what this play helps to do in part. I mean, it has, sure, it has a bunch of buffoonery, and it's going to have a lot of slapstick very firmly in that commedia dell'arte, but it does touch upon these type of themes that we're talking about. I mean, I have to say it does have a bit of a feminist streak to it in having this young woman, the ward, through her own wiles and her cleverness, and yes, with a healthy dash of luck, but she comes to give up some just desserts to her guardian who has been treating her so poorly.
Now, when is the play?
The play is October 7th, and it runs through the 10th, and it's during homecoming weekend here, so we'd like to see a lot of people come back to campus or come see the show. It'll be very visually stunning for people to look at. It is quite friendly in many respects. It's not hard arguments to listen to. It's easy to understand. I'm very proud of the students for learning so much. I think in the beginning they thought it was just a comedy, but I think they've all learned quite a bit. I think the first time everyone's eyes really opened was an absolutely stunning article from the Washington Post that really opened our eyes to what Jenner was referring to is hopefully we are looking at this as being poor behavior and ostracizing or shunning that which we don't like to see is in regards to treatment of women for the future.
All right, and Keeley, you get the last word. Why should people come?
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. While it does have a more deeper message, it is definitely a comedy, and it's a lot of fun to watch. And
come enjoy our world.
Thanks to Mary Jo Sodd, Jenner Lathrop, Kira Chavez, Brandon Hunt, and Keeley Lonigan for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.